Maseches Erevin is known in the yeshiva belt, amongst the yeshivas, as a very daunting Masechta. And the reason for this is that the concepts that we find in Maseches Erevin are concepts which are isolated to Maseches Erevin, and they're brought in a few other places, a little bit in Maseches Sukkah, and a few of these concepts are brought in Maseches Shabbos, but primarily these are concepts that are isolated in Maseches Erevin. So therefore, they are not recognized, they're not familiar to the yeshiva belt, and it's looked at as a daunting masechta, a difficult thing. The way to overcome this fear, this pachad of Maseches Erevin, I'll give a mashal, a parable, how you could exactly get around this problem. If you have a big jigsaw puzzle, and you throw out 2,500 pieces on the table in front of you, and you pick up one piece, and you're not sure it looks, it's either an eye, or it could be a foot, or the ring on the hand of a person, it's unclear, you're not sure what it is, how are you exactly going to go about finding the right place for that? So the answer is, anybody who knows how to do a jigsaw puzzle knows that the first thing you do is you look at the picture on the box, and you get a general idea of what you're trying to build. And then you take out all the pieces that form the skeleton, the frame, around the outside of the puzzle. At that point, once you have the framework, and you know what you're looking at, then you can start to take the little details and slide them in the right places, and everything starts to form the beautiful picture. The same is going to be true for Maseches Erevin. If you begin Maseches Erevin with a skeleton, a framework, within which we are going to add a lot of detail, you start with the bare bones, you can then add all the meat and the flavor, and then you'll be able to understand and enjoy the Masechta. What we're going to do, Be'ez Hashem, is for the first and part of the second parak, we are going to give the framework, the bare bones of what are the concepts that we are going to be looking at which point every time you get to them in the Masechta, and according to the Dapim, you'll be able to take the new information and put it into the framework which we are going to already have. We will begin, Be'ez Hashem, discussing the Isser of Haitzah, which will comprised of the majority of Maseches Erevin, which is the Isser Haitzah on Shabbos, the Isser to carry from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabin. The Isser applies as well, carrying from a Rishus HaRabin to a Rishus HaYachid. And there is an Isser to carry 4 Amos, which is approximately 2 meters, 8 feet, in a Rishus HaRabin itself. This Isser, the source for this Isser, is brought in two places in Shas. It is brought in the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Tzadivav. The Gemara brings there a pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu told Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, after they had finished bringing all of the trumos, all of the gifts, the gold and the silver, that was going to be used in order to build the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, we have enough. Vayitzav Moshe, Moshe put out a cruise, an announcement in the machane, in the encampment. Vayaviru kol b'machane, they passed around this announcement, Lamor, telling all of Klal Yisrael, Ish v'isha, al yasu oid melacha l'trumas ha-kodesh. Stop, we don't need any more melacha, any more work for the Mishkan. We have enough. Vayikale ha'am mehavi. The pasuk tells us that the am, all of Christ, they stopped bringing these trumos, these gifts, for the Mishkan. And the pasuk itself calls this a melacha. They were doing melacha, they were doing a work, and when they stopped doing the work, what did they stop doing? They stopped bringing these gifts to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rishayim explained that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was sitting in a place in the encampment where everybody would come. And therefore, where he was a Rishus HaRabim, a public jurisdiction. By bringing the things from their house to Moshe Rabbeinu, they were carrying from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim, and now that is an Isser Haitzah, that is what the Torah calls a Melacha, an Isser on Shabbos. This is one of the two sources the Gemara brings for the Isser of Haitzah on Shabbos. The other is brought in our Gemara in Erevin, interestingly enough, on the last daf in our perek, on Daf Yud Zayin. Gemara on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, at the very, very end of the perek, and the truth is it is brought in our Gemara as a complete side point, but it is really, truly the basis for all of that which we are discussing. The pasuk is brought in the Gemara. The pasuk says in Shmois on Daf Tez on in Perek Tez Zayin, Shvu Ish Tachtav. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael, when you are collecting the mon and Shabbos comes, they were getting the mon every morning. They would go out and harvest the mon in the midbar. Al Yetsay Ish Mim Kaimoy. Do not leave your place B'Yom Hashvi'i on the seventh day, which is Shabbos. Don't leave your place. The Gemara darshins not to read the pasuk al yetzeh, although that is the simple taich, the simple explanation of the pasuk, which is don't leave your houses. Our Gemara teaches us in the last line, in the first parak, al yetzi, do not bring with you, do not carry with you out of your house into the roads, into the streets of the encampment, which are Irishus HaRabim. This is the second place that the Gemara teaches us that there is at all an Isser to carry in Irishus HaRabim. It is understood from these psukim that there is an Isser to bring from Irishus HaYachid to Irishus HaRabim. The truth is, we learn as well from this idea that you would not be allowed to carry from Irishus HaRabim to Irishus HaYachid. From a public domain, like the area around Moshe Rabbeinu in the Machaneh, into Irishus HaYachid, into their houses. It is the same idea, carrying from one jurisdiction to another. The Isser to carry for Amis in Irishus HaRabim as well comes from this same Isser of carrying from one jurisdiction to another. When a person is standing in Irishus HaRabim, in the middle of a street, he is considered to have a tfisa, a holding, some sort of aspect of the four Amis around him belong to him. This is his jurisdiction where he's standing. The second he leaves that jurisdiction, he has now gone from the jurisdiction of where he was before to a new place in the Rishus HaRabim. The Rishonim and the Achronim explain to us that this is similar to carrying from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYachid or vice versa, when you leave one Rishus and you enter another. This is the concept of Hitzah. The truth is, the concept of Hitzah is discussed minimally throughout Maseches Erevin. However, it is the basis for all of Maseches Erevin. All of the discussions of creating a Rishus HaYachid, carrying in a Rishus HaRabim, all of these discussions are based on the fact that there is an Isra Hitzah. But the Isra Hitzah itself is discussed only in these two places, in the Gemara and Shabbos on Daf Tzadi Vav, and in the Gemara by Yas on Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Beis. That is the basis for what we are going to be discussing. Now we are going to have to discuss four types of domains, of jurisdictions, which will be applicable in the halakhas of Hitzah, of carrying from one jurisdiction to another. These four jurisdictions are explained in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Resh, in Siman Shin Mem Hei, in Aruch Chaim, and they are classified as a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, a Karmelis, which is actually a Rishus Dirabonon. Min HaTorah there is no such thing as a Karmelis. The Rabbonon gave the classification as Karmelis. It is somewhere in between a Rishus HaRabim and a Rishus HaYachid. We will explain all the details in a moment. And we have a Makom Ptur. A Makom Ptur is a place without any classification. It is not a Rishus HaRabim or a Rishus HaYachid or a Karmelis for that matter. We will again explain the details in a moment as we detail each of these four domains. A Rishus HaRabim. There are two main shitos, two main opinions in Halacha as far as what is a Rishus HaRabim. The details are many, but there are two main classes amongst the Rishonim. There is the Shita of the Rambam and the other Rishonim that hold like he, that a Rishus HaRabim is any place where the Rabim has dominion, where they're allowed to be. Anybody who wants, they can be here. That is the Shita of the Rambam. It is the primary Shita Paskin in Halacha, and it is also the Shita that we will not get to see on the Daf, because Rashi, when he explains the Gemara, is the second school of thought in the opinion of the Rishonim as far as what is the Rishus HaRabim. We must keep in mind always that the Shita of the Rambam is any area which has no control, anybody who wants to come can be here. If it is 16 amas wide, it is large enough, it takes on the classification of Rishus HaRabim. Rashi, on the other hand, holds, Rishus HaRabim is something very specific. It has specific guidelines. 16 amas is a guideline as well, according to Rashi. But Rashi is misyaches, he takes a look at how many people are using this property, this area, this jurisdiction. He requires 600,000 people to be using this jurisdiction. There is a discussion amongst the Poskim whether they have to be there every day. If 600,000 people in general use this area, this street, according to Rashi, has to go directly from one side to the other through the city, from one gateway to another gateway in the city. This is called a platya, a main marketplace in a city. A second possible definition, according to Rashi, the Gemara discusses a sratya, an intercity road, that will also have its specific hagdoris, its specific criteria, which are going to be necessary to define a Rishus HaRabim. So the two schools, which are very important to remember, are the school of the Rambam, who explains that a jurisdiction of Rishus HaRabim means anybody who wants can be here. And Rashi understands there are specific guidelines when it comes to a Rishus HaRabim. The number of people that have to be using it, the shape that it's in, very, very specific guidelines. That is a Rishus HaRabim. The halacha regarding a Rishus HaRabim is, you are not allowed to carry from a Rishus HaRabim to any other Rishus, We will see that does not include a makom p'tur. You are not allowed to carry from any rishus into a rishus harabim, and you are not allowed to carry four amos within the rishus harabim itself. Those are the rules of a rishus harabim. The second jurisdiction is a rishus hayachid. In order to be a rishus hayachid min ha-Torah, the only condition is it must have walls. Walls make it into a rishus hayachid. A definition of a domain, a jurisdiction, which is called a rishus hayachid, according to the Torah, you may carry if there are walls. How many walls do you need is another discussion in the Gemara and in Machlokes amongst the Poskim. It could be you need 2, 3, or 4 walls to make a rishus hayachid, but once you have the required number of walls, it is a rishus hayachid. The third jurisdiction domain that we were discussing, the third type of rishus, was a karmelis. A karmelis is something which is somewhat like a rishus hayachid and somewhat like a rishus harabim, insofar as it does not have any specific jurisdiction, no one person is in control, it is similar to a rishus harabim. But it is either too narrow or it does not fit into the criteria of a rishus harabim according to Rashi, so it is left in between. And the halacha of a karmelis is, according to the Rabbanon, it is a halacha mid Rabbanon, you may not carry from a karmelis to a rishus harabim, or from a karmelis to a rishus hayachid, and you may not carry in a karmelis itself. These are the halachas mid Rabbanon of a karmelis. The fourth jurisdiction or domain, the fourth rishus that we were discussing, is a makom p'tur. A makom p'tur is an area that has no classification of its own. It doesn't have definition. Reason being, it's too small. If you have a pillar in a rishus harabim, which is above 3 tefachim, so it's not part of the rishus harabim itself, it's not part of the ground, or it is a pit 3 tefachim below the ground, again, this separates it from the rishus harabim, but it's too small. It's not 4x4 tefachim, which is approximately 14 inches, about the size of an average chessboard. It's not big enough to take on its own classification. And Rabbanan did not give it its own definition. It is a secondary rishus. If it is alongside of a rishus harabim, it can be used as a rishus harabim. Meaning, you can actually place something in there from the rishus harabim, on the pillar, or in this pit. The truth is, if it's alongside a Rishus HaYachid, you can do the same in the other direction. You can call it secondary to the Rishus HaYachid, doesn't have its own definition, carry something from the Rishus HaYachid to there, or from there to the Rishus HaYachid. The Rabbanan made a restriction, however, do not play games. Don't pass an object into the Makom P'tur from a Rishus HaRabim, and then from there out into Rishus HaYachid. That, of course, is a caution from the Chachamim, so that we should not come Chas V'Shalom to make a mistake and carry directly without putting it down. Technically, min ha-Torah, you could do such a thing. This gives us an understanding of what a makom p'tur is. Those are the four classes. Now, in order to carry on Shabbos, there is a two-stage process to enable carrying on Shabbos. I want to carry in a street in the middle of the city. What do I have to do to be able to carry there? The first thing I have to do is I have to make it into a rishus hayachid. As we explained, if it is a karmelis, or it is a rishus harabim, I'm not going to be allowed to carry. I have to make it into a rishus hayachid. And as we explained, making it into a rishus hayachid requires making walls. This is the first stage of creating a heter, a permission to carry in my street, is to make walls that make it into a rishus hayachid. That's my first stage. And we must clarify this in our preparation for the Masechta of Erevin, that these are two distinct stages. Once I make it into a Rishus HaYachid, I put a check next to that little box that says, I have completed the first stage. And then I look at the second stage, which is completely isolated, it is separate. The second stage is taking a look at how many people, how many families, how many entities are in control, have dominion in my area. If there is only one entity, one family that has dominion, that has permission in this area, they have rishus in this area, then I'm already allowed to carry. But if there are two families, or two entities, or two different people who are living in two different houses, or if there's a lot of people, a lot of houses, I am not allowed to carry here, midrabbanan. The Rabbanan said, if there are a lot of people that have dominion in this area, this is similar to a rishus harabim, you should not carry here until you make an eruv chatzeres. The words eruv chatzeres refer specifically to joining all of these entities, these families, and making one big happy family. The way to do this is you take all of these families, and each one of them takes part in one meal. We take a loaf of bread, we will discuss later in the Masechta exactly how much bread and how expensive it has to be, all the details will be discussed. You take a loaf of bread, and you give partial ownership to all of the entities or families in this area. It's already a Rishut HaYachid, but now I have to join all the people in the area. I make an Eruv, a mixture of all these families, and I make a big happy family, one jurisdiction, one dominion in this area, and now it is a Rishut HaYachid with an Eruv, with one family in control, one entity, and now I'm allowed to carry. Those are the two stages. Number one, creating a Rishut HaYachid, making walls, that's a Rishut HaYachid. Number two, making sure there is only one dominion, one bailus in this area, by joining everybody together using what is called an Eruv Chatzeres. That is when I am joining the families in one chatzer, which is a courtyard. When I am joining the families together, when they are in many separate courtyards, and I want to join them all together, if I have a mavui, the Gemara will use the word mavui in reference to something which resembles an alleyway, that this alleyway has entrances on the sides into separate chatzeres, separate courtyards. Each of those courtyards has its own families. I want to join everybody in this alleyway together into one big happy family, close off my alleyway with mechitzos, with walls, make it into a Rishus HaYachid, and then use a shituf mevoyos, it is called, something that joins the mavui together. It is identical to a Eruv Chatzeres, but in an area that's called a mavui in this alleyway. The concept of joining the families is called either an Eruv or a Shituf Mevoyos. This is the concept of creating a Heter in order to carry. First you make a Rishus HaYachid, you put up walls, and then you join everybody together, that forms an Eruv, one jurisdiction. Now that we understand the basics of what we are looking to do, we are looking first to build a Mechitza, a wall around the area. How do we create a wall? So of course, the very expensive and simple way is to build a full wall around the entire area, the correct height, which is 10 tefachim high. Our Gemara discusses how we know this, that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high. And then it is chotzeitz. The word mechitza comes from the word chotzeitz. It divides. It separates my area. It cordons off my area and separates it from the outside. This makes this combined sort of cordoned off area into a Rishus HaYachid. That's why it's called a mechitza. Of course, building those walls can often be extremely expensive and extremely difficult and sometimes impossible. We are going to discuss seven different utilities that can be used in place of walls that are going to be called a halachic wall, min hatayra de'iraisa. All seven of these are halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, according to the majority of the mefarshim. They are halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu on Sinai to tell Klal Yisrael, these rules work. These are called mechitzos. They are called divisions. They are just like walls. Even if you do not understand it, these are called walls. Once we know this, we are going to discuss what are these seven different halachas, these halachic walls, and we are going to learn how to use them. And at some point in the Gemara, sometimes we get an idea also of why it works. But the important thing when you're learning this perek and this mesechta is to understand how these halachic walls work, to get the guidelines, to understand the rules. Once we have that, we can sort of work our way backwards to understand why maybe this is a logical explanation as well. But after we know that these are halacha l'maisha mi-sinai, the primary work we have to do here is to get the definitions and how and when these mechitzas work. The first rule, the type of wall that we are going to use, is good achis. Good achis is when you take an existing wall that does not reach the ground and you treat it as if it goes straight down and touches the floor. This wall has to be itself a kosher wall, 10 tefachim high, even if there is a space underneath it. Now in our Gemara we are going to discuss a churva. You had an entire wall where part of the bottom of the wall actually got eaten away and it fell down, but the top of the wall is hanging in midair. That wall is 10 tefachim tall itself, and we can say good achis to look at it as if that wall goes straight down and closes itself to the ground. We will see all of the details of this in our Masechta Be'ezus Hashem, when you are and when you are not allowed to use good achis. It is a halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. it works, but the Rabbanan had their own restrictions, which we will learn by Ezra Hashem in the Hamshech of HaMasechta. The second rule is very similar. It is called good asik. Good asik is when you take a pre-existing 10 tefach wall and you look at it. It starts at the ground. You look at it as if it goes all the way up to the sky, as if this division reaches the sky. Now this wall has to be 10 tefachim, which is a kosher wall in and of itself. But the halacha of good asik works even when I am standing on top of a building and I have no walls around me at all. Since there are walls beneath me on the sides of the building, and they are kosher walls, they're 10 fucking high. They could be 10 stories high underneath me. I'm on the roof, a flat roof. The walls of the building are considered good asik, as if they rise all the way up to Shamayim. They enclose the roof and form a Rishus HaYachid on top of the building. This is the halacha of good asik. Again, the details of which will become clear throughout the Masechta. A third halacha we will discuss is Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Soisin. The halacha of Pi Tikra is extremely important in regards to a Kaira, which we will discuss later, closing up our Mavwe and creating a sealant, a closure, on the outside of our Mavwe when we want to carry. Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Soisin literally means that the edge of the roof goes down and seals off the area. The typical example of this would be when you have four posts and a roof, a shade above these four posts without any wall. If this roof follows the proper criteria of the halacha l'moshe misinai, of Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Soisin, we can look at this roof as if the edges of all four sides of the roof come down and seal off the area. L'saber es ha'oizen, just to try and understand also a little bit of a svara, of a logic behind it, it's quite simple. When you see four posts and you see a chuppah for a chasen and kala, you see only a roof, but you yourself can imagine this area is cordoned off. It is separate. The area underneath it does not look as part of the larger area around it. That aspect, that it is chaitzeitz, that it looks like it is separated, is already the beginning of an understanding of the halacha l'moshe misinai of Pi Tikra Yoreid V'Soisin. A roof is considered to be a closure of the area which it covers. The fourth halacha l'moshe misinai, which we'll be discussing very much in Maseches Erevin, this does appear very much as well in Maseches Sukkah, as well in Maseches Shabbos, the halacha of lavud, a gap in a mechitza. Lavud is a halacha in a mechitza. Lemaskana in the Rishonim, it is clear it is a mechitza halacha. It is something that applies when you are creating a division between two separate domains. And you have a gap in your wall. The wall doesn't touch. You had a wall coming from one direction which meets a wall coming from the other, and it doesn't reach. Or from the top and from the bottom. Or even if they're a little bit off-center. If anything is less than three tefachim away from the other side, the gap is smaller than three tefachim, it's considered sealed, closed up, it doesn't exist, there's no hole. That is the rule of lavud. It becomes clear from Rashi in our Masechta, as well as in Maseches Shabbos, that the halacha of lavud is closely connected to the fact that something that is within three tefachim, in a wall, that small gap, it does not appear to be as a hole in the wall. It is not a breach. It appears to be a small little window. It doesn't even look like it's separate. It looks like it's together. That is closely connected to the understanding of why the halacha l'moshe misinai works. But as we said before, since it is halacha l'moshe misinai, it will always work, even if you think it doesn't look like it. It is considered sealed up. Less than three tefachim is not a gap at all. The fifth type of halacha l'moshe misinai, which will enable us to create walls to make a Rishus HaYachid, is called Oymed Meruba Al HaParus. Oymed, the standing wall, is the majority over the parus, the openings in the wall. For example, you had four complete walls around an area. Certainly, if it belongs to one person, you're allowed to carry inside. And then part of the wall fell down. It opened up a little bit. And it's not a pirza, it's not a breach, we will discuss later. It's an opening in the wall. And people use it as an entrance. And then you make another opening on the other side, and another opening on the other. You make a lot of openings for people to go in and out of this jurisdiction. If there is more standing wall than there are holes in the wall, than there are openings, it's considered as if the whole thing is closed up. Again, because the concept of a mechitza is a separation, if you have enough standing wall, you see a separation between the two jurisdictions. You understand that these are entrances and exits. These are not breaches in the wall. The wall is not broken down. But if you reach a point where the majority of the wall is openings, then you have harutz, meruba, ala oimed. There is more open space than standing wall. The entire wall is null and void. It is as if there is no division between the two separate domains. The halacha of oimed, meruba, ala parutz, more standing wall than open spaces, again, is going to be discussed in our Masechta. We see in the first parak that there is a difference between a chatzar and a mavui. Even though they seem to be very similar jurisdictions, there is a difference in regards to this halacha. The sixth halachic wall is called a tel hamislakit. It's a little difficult to explain, but it is a slope, an incline, where the height of the incline will reach 10 tfachim from the base of the incline before you have traveled 4 amos along its length. If this is an angle, if you're wondering about the angle, it's approximately 21 degrees. Those who know a little bit about calculus could have figured it out for themselves. It's approximately 21 degrees of an angle. This steep of a slope is considered a wall. If you had a wall that leaned down a little bit and fell over, you'd still think it's a wall. A slope of this angle, where you go up 10 tfachim before you reach 4 amos along its length, is considered a mechitza, a halachic wall. There is a machlekes amongst the achrenim, between the Chazon Ish and a few other of the mefarshei HaShulchan Aruch. If the reason that this tel hamislakit, this sloped wall, is called a mechitza, is it because it is a leaning wall, as I have already explained, or is it because the area on the top of this slope and the area on the bottom of this slope are very separate, they're very different. It is difficult to travel from the bottom to the top. It is a very steep incline, and they are completely separated. There is a chatzitza, there is a separation between the top area and the bottom area. The fact that it is separated is enough to separate the two jurisdictions, and this one on top can be a Rishus HaYachid, even though the one on the bottom was a Rishus HaRabim. There is a difference between these two explanations, and there are many differences when it comes down to the halachic applications of this as well. If you are looking at a halachic wall, from the top to the bottom, it's a leaning wall, that is the shita of the Chazon Ish. Or if you are considering it two separate jurisdictions without having a halachic wall at all, it is a halachic separation from the word chotzitz, and not a mechitza as if it were a wall. So two possible explanations. As we see the sugyas in the Gemara, they will become clearer and clearer why it is important to differentiate. The seventh and final type of halachic wall that we are going to discuss in our preparation for Maseches Erevin is a Tzuras HaPesach. A Tzuras HaPesach is a door frame. When you look at a door frame, you clearly see that this is the end of this area and begins a new area. So a Tzuras HaPesach is going to be called a halachic wall. This is also a halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai. It also has very specific rules and regulations. The top crossbeam on the top of my Tzuras HaPesach, my door frame, must be above the two door posts. It cannot be attached from the sides. It has to have the proper tzura, the proper form, in order to be called a door frame. Once it is called a Tzuras HaPesach, it is considered a wall. It is considered a closure. As we get further and further in our perek, we see that it is considered a closure, but there is going to be machlekes in the Rishonim if it is considered a closure as in a separation between the two Rishuyas, or is it called a closure as in a sealed wall? Very similar to what we discussed in the Tel HaMislakit. Is it considered a separation, or is it considered a closure? Again, there would be differences in halacha, which will become clear throughout the Masechta. Now we understand what is a halachic wall. It is a division which we need to create a Rishus HaYachid to separate this area from all the Rishuyas, the domains around it. In order to close it up, we create mechitzas, walls. There are openings in a wall. In your house, in the wall, you have an opening as well. And there are breaches in a wall. When the wall is broken, we are going to have to define throughout our Masechta, and the truth is that half of the first parak of Erevin is discussing this question. When is a hole in my wall called a pesach, an entranceway, a doorway, and when is it called a pirza, a broken down wall? The halacha is, and it's very clear, one pirza in your entire Rishus HaYachid destroys the whole Rishus HaYachid. It's parut, it is broken down, it is open to the outside, you can't carry there. But if the opening in the wall can be defined as a pesach, an entranceway, you ought to have entranceways in your area that's closed off, in your house, in your Rishus HaYachid, in your chatzer, in your mavui. You have entranceways. You can have a lot of entranceways. One of the ways to define it as an entranceway would be a tsuras ha-pesach, putting up a doorframe. Having an entranceway, which is small, the Gemara will discuss how small it has to be, up to 10 amos even, that's called an entrance or an exit. That's not a pirza, a breach. As soon as it is too wide, it becomes a breach. A breach in the wall, one breach and the entire wall is possible. Your Rishus HaYachid is no longer a Rishus HaYachid, it is now a Karmelis. It is not a walled area. You may not carry there on Shabbos. We have just covered half of the first parak in explaining that we are going to look for a breach in the wall or an entrance. We have already covered half of the first parak. Once we have already established that we are going to have walls, halachic walls, and we are going to clarify that we have entrances and no pirsos, no breaches in our wall around the Rishus HaYachid, now we have to address the final stage of allowing carrying in a mavoi or chatzer. When you have the main entrance, this is an added concern of the Chachamim, the main entrance to your mavoi or chatzer, the opening to the Rishus HaRabim, where everybody goes in and out, that entrance is a dangerous entrance. The Rabbanim were very concerned. Somebody who looks in from the Rishus HaRabim sees you carrying around in this area, he gets the impression that you're allowed to carry in an open area. He doesn't really see that you are in an enclosed area of three walls, clearly making it into a Rishus HaYachid. It is open to a Rishus HaRabim. The Rabbanim said, here in the main entrance, we want you to have an additional caution. You should use one of our utilities that we are going to give you, which will close up the end of your mavui, the end of this alleyway that meets the Rishus HaRabim. Close it up in a way that everybody will know. These are two separate domains, not just halachically, visually, understood. These are two separate domains. At that point, nobody's going to get confused, and you can carry in your mavui. So first you have to make your walls. And then you have to close up the entrance, halachically, with one of the following utilities. When you are dealing with a mavui, which is this alleyway we discussed, which has entrances from other courtyards, when you are dealing with a mavui, you are allowed to use either a lechi or a keira. A lechi is a small post alongside the entrance of your mavui. Right where everybody passes by in the Rishus HaRabim and they're about to walk into your mavui, there should be a post. This can be very small, even like a shoestring on the wall, 10 tefachim high. This, as well, acts as a mechitza. It acts, there is a machlokes in this aspect in the Gemara. I'm telling you now what the maskana is in the Paiskim, but the truth is, the Gemara will discuss this working as a mechitza, as if it is a halachic wall itself, as well as it could be working as a heker, a visual reference. People will see that little thing on the side, that post that looks out of place, they don't know what it's doing there. Oh, that's to tell me that they are allowed to carry because it's a closed mavli, it's a Rishus HaYachid. I am in a Rishus HaRabim, people will understand there is no more place for the caution and the Rabbanan allowed you to carry inside. A Keira, the Gemara will discuss as well if a Keira works as a Mechitza. As we discussed the halacha of Pi Tikra Yoyreg V'Soysim, the ends of a ceiling are considered to close down and close off the area. They come down, they close off the area. So the end of your keira could do the same. It could look as if it closes off the area. This could work as a halachic mechitza, and it could work as well as a heker, a visual reference point. Somebody walking by will immediately see, ah, that beam is there to tell me this is the end. You can't carry from there to here. That's special, it's cordoned off. It's a Rishus HaYachid. This is at the entrance to your mavli. Of course, if you put up a tzuras ha-pesach, if you put up a door frame, that certainly shows everybody, and it acts As a halachic mechitza, we have no question that a tzuras ha-pesach will be considered a sealant on the front side of your mavli that faces the rishus harabim, and you will be allowed to carry inside. This is when you are dealing with a mavli, which is an alleyway. When you are dealing with a chatzar, the Rishonim explain why there is a difference. A courtyard, many people are carrying inside a courtyard. They're doing a lot of their private things in the courtyard. They might be eating there, they might be playing with the children there. A lot of action in a courtyard. In such a situation, the Rabbanim were very worried. So many people are carrying in this courtyard, mistakes can be made. We have to be more machmir, more stringent. We don't let you use a lechi, a little post on the side. We don't let you use a kura, just a beam across the top. You have to have what the Rabbanan called is pasim, strips of wall. It is a little more serious of a division, something that's more of a heker, something that will show you this is the end of your chatzar. You either have one pas, which is very long, a strong, long wall, 4 tefachim long, on the side at the entrance to your chatzar, or you can have two of them, one on each side, even if they're minuscule, they're very small. Mr. Brewer brings a condition that there should be a tefach wide, there should be something there, but if you have two, they can be smaller. One has to be a very serious length of wall closing off your chatzar. This is the difference between a chatzar and a mavli. Since we're a little more concerned with the carrying that's going on there, we have to be a little more stringent, and a lechi or kura will not be enough. These are the utilities that we use on the fourth side of our mavli. When it is facing a rishus harabin, a lechi, a kura, or a tzuras ha-pesach, and when it's a chatzar, we use pasim. These are the utilities that we are going to discuss. That is how Maseches Erevin begins. And with this, we have come to basically the conclusion of putting together the framework on the outside of our jigsaw puzzle with our 2,500. And throughout Maseches Erevin, it's a lot more than that, those tiny little pieces. Now, all we're going to have to do is every time we see a halacha that applies to pasim, so we remember, oh, that's the you plug that in where it goes on the side of your framework, and everything will become clear, and the picture becomes one picture, a clear picture, a organized picture. And with this as a framework and a skeleton, I think that it is possible for sure to learn the first parak and most of the second parak of Erevin and to feel comfortable that you are getting one picture and not a lot of little pieces. In order to just give a quick skeletal review of what we did, we learned from whence we have an Isser to carry in a Rishus HaRabim. We learned it from the Midbar. We learned about 4 Rishuyos: a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, a Karmelis, a domain which is not a Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, but the Rabbanon gave it its own classification, you cannot carry there, and a Makom Ptur, something that has no definition, it becomes secondary. Wherever it is, it joins up with the other domains, the other Rishuyos. We learned about mechitzas. A mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high, or it can be comprised of one of the 7 halacha l'moshe misinais that we discussed. Good achis, bringing down a pre-existing hanging wall. Good asik, raising a pre-existing lower wall, one that does not reach the area I need to cordon off. Pitikri yerid v'sayisen, a roof, which is considered a closure of its own. Lavud, closing gaps that are small enough, less than approximately 12 inches, 3 tefachim. Oymed meruba al haparz, having a majority of standing wall and a minimal amount of openings in my chatzah. Tel hamislaket, a sloping angle which is steep enough to be considered 2 separate, distributed, distinct rishuyos. And a tzuras ha-pesach, a door frame, which is considered a separation between these 2 Rishuyas. Once you have created walls, we learned as well what is considered, that we are looking to find, what is a pirtza, a breach. And then we finally discussed what are the conditions that Rabbanan gave at the entrance to our mavli or chatzar. You need either a kura, a board across the top, or a lechi, a post along the side, or a tzuras ha-pesach, which certainly is considered an entrance, a separation from the Rishus HaRabim outside, and in a chatzar we have a special condition that we require pasim. With this, I think we're ready to begin the Maseches Erevin.